locations. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
And welcome to Freedom Ring. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you this morning?
I'm beat. I've been fighting the flood the last couple days, bailing and mopping and wet vacuuming. And
just fighting the water, huh?
It's just like an inch or two seepage, but it's still a mess. I really feel for the people that, you know, like this plane's there. I guess some people are underwater.
Yeah, no, I heard there's a lot. In fact, the Des Plaines River is supposed to crest sometime early this evening, so it's going to make matters worse before it actually gets better up there in Des Plaines.
Right, and I understand Riverside also on the Des Plaines River, they're looking at record flooding.
Yeah, and Arlington Heights had record rainfall of over 10 inches in Arlington Heights.
It's amazing. We must have had at least 9 here up in the Elgin area, I would think.
Yeah, I think it was about 9.25 I think we had here in Elgin. And I think they had 6 down in Aurora. So the bands that came through were heavy at times. And the neighboring cities got off with about 3 inches less or 3 inches more, depending on how you look at it. So the bands that came through were just brutal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just 3 days, 3 straight days of almost constant rain. I can imagine 40 days and 40 nights, that would create a worldwide flood.
Absolutely it would. And that first storm that came through was a bad enough storm, but then we got the Hurricane Ike just on top of it. It was just like a back-to-back situation.
Right, yeah, it was really incredible. Well, I'm starting to wonder now, 2 years in a row, we've had some really bad flooding rains.
Same time of year, too.
Is this a normal occurrence, or is this...
I don't know, we'll have to wait till next year for 3 in a row.
I beat. So I had to go real fast through the Bear game, and I DVR'd it.
Right.
And what an unfortunate second half.
Oh, the first half looked awesome.
It was, and the defense was just unbelievable on special teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were great, and Kyle Orton did a great job in the first half. I really do think, and I thought this in the past, I mean, I'm glad Kyle Orton is starting.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Bears are behind, Orton cannot throw an accurate bomb.
No, that's what really hurt us is the long ball. He overthrew three times.
There were a touchdown. The guy was open for a touchdown three times.
Yeah, well, at least a big play, if not a touchdown. But, it's that long ball. But at the same token, he hasn't thrown any interceptions this year. He hasn't fumbled the ball.
But I'm just saying, if it comes down to where you really need the big threat, I wouldn't mind putting, I've already forgot his name.
Grossman.
I wouldn't mind putting him in the fourth quarter if you're behind.
But then you're taking your leader and demeaning him. So, you know, I think Orton could handle it, though. I think Orton would be okay with
Orton,
it.
I think he could. That's the point. I think Orton could handle. I think he's very professional. Well, just think about how he's remained quiet for how many years? 3 years or so?
And he's probably the best quarterback on paper that we've ever had.
On paper?
Yeah.
Right.
Rookie year, he won over 10 games, right?
Yeah, I think he was his lifetime as a starter is like 12 or 13-6 or now 13-7, I think.
Right. Well, I'll take that guy.
Oh, absolutely. So, and Forte continues to look great.
He does look good. Absolutely great.
Oh, well, and what I question is who made the decision to draft Benson first?
Oh.
you take one look at Forte. Versus Benson. Now Benson, they say, well, he'll come along. This guy Forte is ready to play in the NFL on day one.
He's already proved it.
There's just no comparison.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There is absolutely no comparison. I mean, whoever made that decision about Benson probably shouldn't be in professional football.
I don't even know.
All right, enough of Bears, and just quick mention, I missed it. I didn't even know they were playing in Milwaukee last night. I guess Zambrano pitched a no-hitter.
Yeah, Zambrano, a no-hitter against Houston, I think, up in Milwaukee.
Against Houston, up in Milwaukee.
That's
right.
Crazy.
Oh, good for him. And this is not a sports show.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
And I know a lot of my political friends are really upset when I keep on talking about sports.
Well, if I can add one more thing about the Cubs playing in Milwaukee for the away game, that is not fair to anybody. Milwaukee is like a suburb of Chicago.
It's really not fair to Houston.
It's not fair.
They get hit by Hurricane Ike, and then they got to play it.
Right?
Hometown almost.
I mean, I'm sure Texas has another stadium. The Texas Rangers play somewhere down there, maybe move them to Atlanta. You know, I don't know who was playing where, but you can't move to a Milwaukee. You can't.
If I was a Houston fan, I'd be
oh,
really
yeah, I'm calling
upset.
Big foul on that one. That's just not a good move.
No, that's not fair. Not at all. Well, so the Cubs got it going on their side for once.
Right.
All right, on to stupid regulations of the week. I guess I just want to talk about and warn about more bailouts. Now Lehman Brothers is going bankrupt,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not sure what that means these days, but was that Chapter 7? I'm not sure, Chapter 11. But
they're going down, whatever you call it.
And my guess is they'll get bailed out too. I don't know. At least Greenspan's come out against, I don't know how much weight his opinions hold anymore.
Right.
He's talked against these bailouts. And I would like to have somebody explain to me how Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going down, how that would hurt the homeowners that have mortgages.
You know,
I
would love a financial advisor to call up and tell everybody what the ramifications of this are. What if we don't bail them out? What if we just let them all sink and forget about them and start with a new company or something? I want to know what the ramifications are.
I don't see how it hurts the homeowner that's holding a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. It seems to me the only people that would be getting bailed out are those who made the bad financial decisions to support a company that made bad financial decisions.
Right.
Seems to me the stockholders should pay the price. That's what capitalism is all about. You reap the benefits when you make good choices, good decisions, and you should suffer the consequences when you make bad decisions.
Well, you know, Ken, one of my biggest problems with all this stuff that's going on with the government bailout is who's asking the people? Someone up there is making a decision.
Well, that's an excellent point. Where in the Constitution is it authorized that the executive can just, even not even with congressional approval? I don't think it's even authorized for Congress.
Right. I mean, obviously, they don't have time to put it to a vote, but, you know, you don't have that power. No one has given you that power.
Absolutely.
No one's speaking to my voice.
There's no power to bail out any groups at all.
I mean, if they put it to a vote and the majority of the people say, yeah, we need to bail out these people, then fine, so be it. But at least we were asked. But no one's asked me. No one's given me a ballot and say, you know, what do you think? We should bail these people out. I might say yes. I might say no. But no one's asked. No one's asked my opinion. No one's asked me about the direction our financial situation the government is concerned. No one's asked me. They're just making these decisions. I want to know who is given, you know, who the person's making these decisions are. Who's giving them all the power? And not me. Not you.
Well, no, the neocons and the establishment have just taken that power.
Mm-hmm.
They just... And it's really it's taken over the government. The government's totally unconstitutional, and it will be up to the people to figure it out that these people should not be voted back in office because they really exercised for the most part a nonviolent coup,
right?
In this country, that's what it is. If the Constitution doesn't mean anything, then it's a coup.
It is a coup.
Nothing different except the military didn't outwardly take over. I mean, of course, we have various thugs.
Well, you see, that's it. It wasn't such an obvious takeover. It was been a slow, kind of quiet
Very
process.
Very slow. It's the frog in the you know how you cook a frog. You don't toss him into a hot boiling pot.
Mm-hmm.
Cook a frog. You put them in just regular room temperature water, and you slowly
heat it up.
Slowly heat that pot so that it just feels soothing to the frog, and before you know it, the frog is cooked.
Well, to that, Ken, I say ribbit. You know?
All right, we are, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. And we are going to have a guest today, and I'm actually driving and reading my information. Oh, yeah, Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson is a political, I don't know, some would consider him a gadfly out of McHenry County,
mm-hmm.
who's been fighting for the elimination of township government for a long, long time. And he's going to talk to us about township government, to talk about property taxes and how you peel them, that sort of thing. Should be very informative here on Freedom Rings, 847-931-1410. And we will be back with Bob Anderson after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
We are back with Freedom Rings, and well, I understand that Wendell wants to talk. We normally don't allow people when we're having a guest to talk, but since it's Wendell, the bread butter of Freedom Rings, we'll talk to Wendell. Hey, Wendell.
I don't understand what that means. Bread and...
I don't know what I'd do without you, Wendell.
Well, that's nice, and I like you too, except for your political views, but beyond that, you're talking about a coup, and I get tired of all these people complaining and moaning that the system doesn't work when it does work. It's working just the way it's supposed to. You keep crying out and saying there's been a coup. There's been no coup.
It's been over a long period of time, and probably starting with Lincoln. Yes, it is a coup, because if you don't have constitutional government, you don't have government that was brought forth by the people.
Well, you keep talking about it's not constitutional, which you want to go back to the Constitution where there's slavery?
Excuse me? We had amendments to the Constitution. That's the proper way you change things.
Exactly,
that's the Constitution. That's the law. Wendell, that's the lawful constitutional way you change things is you go through the process that is provided in the Constitution on how you change the law and how you change the Constitution. And yeah, we did. We abolished, we constitutionally abolished slavery in this country.
Well, but the process of government is doing exactly what we the people have allowed it to be. I don't know why you're upset. If they've not made things happen with at the point of a gun. All they've done is people have been elected who've changed the laws, the lawful way of doing it.
No, they haven't changed. They haven't changed the laws, though. There has been it's a set of philosophical principles that have come to the forefront that says that the supreme law of the land doesn't matter. I mean, we'll change the rules in the middle of the game to say that it matters, but you can't call a spade when it's not a spade. And to say something's constitutional because it's a living document, what does that mean?
Tell me one thing that they're doing that doesn't follow the law. The Constitution is just an outline.
Well, just the Federal Reserve. For example, Congress has the power to coin money. They are not given the power to delegate it to any other authority. And the Federal Reserve doesn't coin money anyway. They create bills of credit. They are debt instruments. There is no money circulated in this country legally, because the money of the Federal Reserve is a note. It's a debt instrument. We used to have silver certificates and gold certificates in this country, and gold and silver.
That's your interpretation.
No, it's not. It's very simple when you read the Constitution, Wendell.
It's an archaic interpretation. It's not the one that is being used today.
What people like you always try to promote is as if when you were playing poker, you decide in the middle of the game, Wendell, that your two pair beats my three of a kind. Because it's a living poker game.
If you agreed at the beginning of the game that you could make rule adjustments in the middle, then that's exactly what can happen, and that's what the Constitution provided for, and that's what our code of laws.
Now the Constitution provided for three fifths of the state.
You're against representative government.
No, the Constitution provided for three fifths of the states voting to change the Constitution.
The Constitution provides the framework. The laws have been passed by your representatives, and now then you complain about it, claiming that they didn't do it right.
And the Interstate Commerce Clause, you really believe that the Interstate Commerce Clause should be interpreted so that if I want to grow some green beans in my backyard, I don't have the right to do it because that would influence interstate commerce?
That's what the courts are for. If you don't like these issues, go to the courts. Let the courts decide, because that's the power that was granted to them by the Constitution.
And if the courts decide that people over 70 should be summarily executed, then we should go along with that too, right? Because the courts decided that.
You could go to an extreme example, and that doesn't really work, because no one's going to do that at this time.
Well, nobody thought. Nobody thought back in 1960 or 1970 or even 1975 that we would have a situation in this country where the government can snoop and spy on American citizens without accountability at any time they want, without a court order, going through emails and phone call records and the such. Thomas Jefferson and the rest of the Founding Fathers are turning over the graves 100,000 times over.
I don't think they are. I think they're just bones. But the thing is,
it's metaphorical. Come on, Wendell. It's a metaphorical statement.
In 50 years, if things were so bad that they decided that there's going to be a cap on age, if the people at that time followed the legal procedures and voted that in, well, then that would be what it is.
That is really scary, Wendell. That's about the most scary, and you've had a lot of scary statements over the years. That may be the most scary statement you've ever come up with.
Well, I think it's more scary that you advocate lawlessness and breaking the law and claiming that...
No, I advocate following the law. The supreme law is the Constitution. I got to go, Wendell. I got to guess. Thank you for calling.
Okay,
I appreciate
bye.
It. All right. Oh, my. He topped himself today.
No, I like Wendell more and more each time he calls.
He's very entertaining.
Well, he's entertaining. He sticks to his guns, you know?
He does stick to his guns. Oh, all right. Do we have Bobby Anderson on the phone?
Yeah, we sure do.
All right. Bobby Anderson, how are you doing?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. You are the founder of the Citizens for Fair Assessment. What does that group do?
Okay. That's a new group I just formed, and what we basically are doing is We've got some 9,000 flyers that we put out into the Northwest Herald a week ago. Today, we put 2,900 in the Woodstock Independent last Wednesday, and we're passing them out individually to people that didn't get the paper. But what we're doing is really trying to educate the public on how to appeal their property assessments.
Okay.
I've got a barbershop, and I have what got me going here is that I overlooked this when I got my little bitty assessment card a year ago. And I have a lot behind my barbershop, and the assessment went in 1 year's time from fair market value from $13,000 to $28,500. And I thought, how could that be? And so then I got a property analysis on it, and that came back that that if I was going to sell that lot, which is 50 by 120, I could sell it for somewhere in the range of $5,000 to $7,000. So I've been an activist for almost 15, 16 years, whatever it's been. And I thought, you know, I really don't know how to go through this process. So I started asking people coming to the barbershop, do you know how to do this? And I found out by far the large majority of the property the population or the voters, the citizens, taxpayers, do not know how to appeal this.
No, you're absolutely right.
And so then it took me all summer to learn this. I know it now. And the first part of the summer I called the administrative office of the county government, talked to the administrator, and a meeting was set up to go over the assessment process on the 15th of July. Mm-hmm. And I was very disappointed because my hope at that time was to encourage from the county level through the chief assessing officer, who was Donna Mayberry, from her office, to somehow go out to the public and educate them. And they chose not.
Oh, they don't want to do that. Are you
kidding? No, exactly. And my feeling was that way, but it was confirmed after that, and certainly many people I talked to. So anyway, that's just got me going. So if they're not going to, I go to a few people. We put this group together, and we've had an outstanding result on it.
Good for you. You want to go through very quickly what the process is?
Well, the main thing is that and there's not much time because it's so confusing. In McHenry County, we have 17 townships. We have 17 different assessors. They turn their books into the chief assessing officer at different times. So you don't know exactly when your card's coming, but when that card comes, you have 30 days to file your appeal.
All right, that's the most important thing to remember, folks. 30 days after you get is that a card that comes in the mail, which is a reassessment of your property?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it has the numbers on it. It's a very confusing card. In fact, before I go through the process, I'd like to speak to that a little bit if I could.
Sure.
This card that we get in McHenry County is like a piece of junk mail.
Huh.
And it's about 3x4. It can be overlooked. I mean, it can cost you thousands of dollars in your tax bill. Huh. And I found out, too, that a number of people would think, well, if I get my tax bill, I can go through this process. It's too late.
Well, an interesting thought occurred to me that in this topsy-turvy 1984-ish type world, mail that looks really official is usually junk mail.
Exactly.
And now you're saying the really official mail looks like junk mail.
Well, there's no question. Well, it's very easy to overlook. I have talked to people that don't even know what the card looks like. A number of people do, but there's two ways to be notified. First, it has to be notified through a publication in a newspaper, local newspaper.
And nobody reads newspapers anymore.
Many people don't get them. No people would ever know that you have to go into the classified part of the paper to find this.
Right.
And it's interesting to talk about this subject, too, because I'm meeting tomorrow morning with Senator Althoff, and one of the things I'm going to bring up is that this card is not sufficient and that an assessment should be put into a sealed envelope with something outside that says important or call your attention, something in red or whatever it could be.
Maybe certified mail.
Well, I don't think it needs to be certified mail.
Does that cost too much?
I don't think that's necessary because I have two very good examples I'm going to present to her tomorrow. I have a daughter and son. I live in Park Ridge, which is in Cook County, and they gave me what's mailed to them, and it's a sealed envelope. You certainly know it's your assessment. It's identified very clearly. And also there are instructions on how to appeal your property tax if you're unsatisfied with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a customer friend that has property in Florida, the same thing in Florida. You get a sealed envelope. It identifies it very well.
So is McHenry County the exception to the rule on this?
That I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I don't know, and I don't know until I ask the question with Senator Althoff, does this have to come from the county level to change this, or does it come through the state? I don't know that. I do know that on the 15th of July, I addressed the county board after that presentation during public comment, and I mentioned about that card and pointed out that it's a piece of junk, like a piece of junk mail, needs to be changed. No one reacted to it. I never got a phone call, never a conversation. Nobody came up to me after the meeting, even spoke to it. Never heard a word about it. But anyway, to go back to your question about the process, is that we took a very complex situation and made it simple as we could.
Okay.
But what people will be appealing will be they're going to be appealing their assessment for 2008. And the first thing that I've been telling people through conversation and one of the first things that's on our form is that you need a complaint form. And so we gave a phone number and told people to get hold of the Board of Review. And then if you are going to file this appeal, you have to have evidence because you just can't come and say, hey, my assessment's too high. Now, this is a place where it gets a little bit cloudy, and even though I'm going down the list here, I guess it's one thing I like to emphasize to people, because many people I have talked to, and there's been many that have said that, well, I don't want to get an attorney, be too expensive. I don't want to go to get a bank appraisal. That's another, you know, expense of $300, $400, whatever it could be. And I say, you don't need that. The system has pretty much got in your mind that you need those things, and it's not true. What I have suggested to people to do would be to get a hold of a real estate person and get a property analysis. There's probably somewhat of a charge for that, but it would be a minimal charge. And then we also have an elected official in McHenry County that has done a great job getting away from the appeals process, but Bill LaFeu, who is the county treasurer, has gone with public meetings throughout the county this past summer. And he has a flyer out, and he goes over this with benefits that that taxpayers can benefit by. And they could be something from benefits that would affect, say, somebody that was a military, somebody that was a disability, a senior citizen, different price ranges, the Homestead Act, things of that nature. And I thought, wow, this is really great. This is what I think that assessment office should be doing, educate the public. If there's a benefit, you should be aware of it. Well, anyway, he stated at the meeting that if people would like to make a comparison, now you're supposed to have like three comparisons of like type properties. This gets very, very difficult because the system is set up like you're in a subdivision or a city, say, an area within a city that has pretty much like type homes. Property value about the same on these residents. Well, particularly in rural areas like, say, McHenry County or Wonder Lake in McHenry County or some of the other areas, there's not too many neighborhoods that got the same type homes. So the process is you're supposed to have three comparables. And so Bill LaFeu, the treasurer, said call his office, and he would look up on the computer if you'd give him somebody's name, would give their address. He could look it up and see. Now, this was if it wasn't right in your neighborhood, go around, try to find something similar, and he would look up that property and give you what those assessed numbers were. You could compare that with yours, so you could use that with evidence. But anyway, so what we put down in our flyer was you could have a recent bank appraisal if you got one. That would be great, or that market value analysis I told you about, or those comparable properties. And then I also down in our flyer about the hearings and let people know where they are, because most people aren't that familiar with our county administrative offices where the hearings are. And then we told about that filing date, which is very important. You only get that 30 days. And if you don't get a head start on this or start thinking about this, that 30 days goes by very quickly. I think the system likes that. Personally, I don't think it's enough time because, for instance, in our area here at Wonder Lake, we have a number of people that have two homes. They go out west someplace in Arizona, could be Las Vegas area, they could go down to Florida, whatever it is, and a number of people leave, like, say, in October. Some have, I've talked to one person that even left here in September. I don't know how they'd even go through this process. But anyway, that's what that is, and I'm going to bring up that deadline. Maybe that should be changed also, at least looked into. And then, you know, when you start getting into the holidays, the sickness, whatever it is, wow, this, you know, what these tax bills are, with the prop, and particularly, I guess I should mention this too, so it slipped my mind too, is that almost everybody knows that property values are down and assessments are up. So, I mean, this is like a time
that
never come about, you know.
You anticipated my question, well, one of my questions, which is, it's very interesting to me, excuse me, that when property values go up, boy, it sure seems like these governmental entities, they respond really quickly, and your property taxes go up accordingly.
That is correct.
But when your property values go down, as happening right now in this housing bust, they don't go down. And as you say, they're even going, the assessments are going up. What gives?
Well, our whole system is very complex, and what was presented by Donna Mayberry, the chief assessing officer, on the 15th of July, was that your assessment is figured out over a three-year average.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Right, and it's,
but that doesn't seem to be true on the upside.
Well, I don't. I think it's a way for the system to hide behind and take as much as they can for you, myself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she's saying that 2005. That property value is so very good, but then the 2006, 2007, they were going down, and certainly they're down this year. So what people need to do is, first of all, they need to be educated on this process. They need to know this. We should have known this for years, but the general public doesn't know that. And then they know how. Then they have to know how to react and when to react. And if as long as the system is set up on that three-year deal there, next year should be the payoff year for the taxpayer.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, nobody can hold their breath. I can tell you as an activist that this can be only changed if people react to it. And many people have given up on that. And our system has dragged these things out to the point where people throw up their hands and walk away. And an example of this would be that on the 15th of July, over 100 people showed up at this meeting. And after the presentation, the county board chairman, Ken Kohler, says, well, we'll give eight minutes for public questions here. Well, wow, thank you so much. 8 minutes on a complicated situation? So then they went through that, and I'll say at least two-thirds of the people got up and walked out. Quite a few of those people I had talked to personally encouraged them to come to the meeting, and I was very impressed with how many people showed up. Totally disappointed of the reaction and how they were treated by the government people, the McHenry County government, including Donna Mayberry. And so they walked, but I talked to them, and they kind of gave up their hands. I said, well, you can't give up your hands. You got to have a little fight for it. You have to follow through with this situation. You just can't let it go. So, you can't hold your breath, but I think things can be changed. I'm encouraged all these, as many people as I can to go through this process to learn it. And then you just got to follow through. One thing that when I see what's happening here, particularly on these property tax situations, is that in McHenry County's got like 117 taxing bodies, which is ridiculous for that number to begin with, but they've all had a built-in cash flow every year because property values went up, assessments went up.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really had to, as far as I'm concerned, really have to watch how they spend their money. And I don't think any of them saw this approaching here. And
well, probably not those in government did.
No,
a lot of us saw it coming.
But nobody saw it hit the wall. So now it's hit the wall. So now it's up to people, because I'm not so sure these property values ever get back to where they were because they were bloated and our system kind of pushed
exactly,
them up.
Exactly, exactly.
And then our government system, they weren't going to speak to it because it was an increase of cash flow to them.
Absolutely. Once they're hooked on all that largesse coming in, they're not gonna back down. I guarantee you, our property, taxes are not going to go down. Don't they have something like the equalizer? I'm not quite sure
they
how
do.
That works.
Yes, they do. They have what's called a multiplier.
They just change the multiplier and make sure they get the money they need to get.
They can, but there again, that question is coming up with Senator Althoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, we need to look into, see, we have the laws which are the rules are at a disadvantage to the taxpayer, an advantage to every local government. And they're running with it. And if you are in an advantageous position as they are, they're not about to bring this into discussion. They're just going to keep you in the, on the outside, keep you as confused as possible, and just continue to pay the bill.
Right. Bob, we have to break for a few messages.
Sure.
We're talking with Bob Anderson, founder of Citizens for Fair Assessment. We will be back after a few messages.
Mommy, why do we have a government?
There are lots of reasons, like to make sure we have soldiers to protect our country, to build our roads,
to give us all the things we need.
Well, no, they can't do that.
That's what I heard on TV.
Oh, that was probably just some politician trying to get people to vote for him. Our government is supposed to be limited by the Constitution. But those in government just ignore it. That's why our country is in such a mess.
Then why don't you and Daddy stop it?
Well, we'd like to, but we don't know how.
If you feel like the mother in this message, you are not alone. But there is something you can do. Join us at the next meeting of the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a diverse group of people like yourself who are fed up with the status quo. We meet at MT Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72. Just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jarrett at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your children.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
If you drive a car, car,
I tax the street.
If you drive to sit,
I tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your feet.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We were talking with Bob Anderson, who's the founder of Citizens for Fair Assessment. And we do have a phone caller. What do you say we go to the phones, Bob?
Okay, fine.
All right. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
How's everybody doing today?
Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm glad you're doing this, but I'm having a problem down here in the same respect in Kane County. It's ridiculous, so the crap that I have to go through. I fought my property tax bill, and I've had to go appeal twice on top of going there once. And all they do is they come back and they create more paperwork. So, you know, you're talking about being more participatory and getting more people involved. Well, after the third time, it makes it kind of hard. You know, I've sent them, and I started doing this way back 6 months ago, and I'm still fighting it. And they keep sending me paperwork to say, you don't have a proper identification, a proper paperwork, when in fact, I'm following them word for word, item for item, on their bills. And I don't understand where they're coming from. I think, to be honest with you, it's a big, fat ploy to, they're just going to keep, and I could see this happening coming.
Well, they're wearing you down, Jeff. That's what they do. They wear you down.
Again. It's going to end up being where, okay, the next year, we'll be in the next year, and they'll say, I'll have to do the whole thing all over again. I guarantee that's the way it's coming. Our King County government is so inept, it's ridiculous. And I know a couple people work there, and I have to say there are no help. There are no help whatsoever because they know their butts on their line. I mean, here 6 months ago or a year ago, they weren't saying anything. Oh, they were criticizing their bosses, and they all told me flat out, people I know work over there said, the reason why they're jacking people around like that, this is because everybody's broke.
Okay, Jeff, let Bob respond because we're getting running late and got
sorry.
Other callers.
Okay, what I would suggest is, first of all, you don't give up. And I'm going to go through the process with this lot that was so ridiculously assessed. And I've talked to one reporter. There have been a couple of stories up in our papers about this. And I asked one reporter I talked to a little while ago to ask her editor if somebody would follow me from the press through this process. And what I'd like to do is have somebody that's from the press, and I'm hoping I can get somebody from the Northwest Herald, and the reporter I talked to happened to be from the Woodstock Independent, and follow this through, because I think that the only way to put pressure on the system is to go with the press. And what I would like to have happen here would be that when I go file, I like to have somebody there. And I like to show people that somebody that has never done this before, had to learn the process themselves, to be there when I file. And then, after I get notified for when I have my hearing, I'd like to have the press follow me through that, so they could describe to their readership exactly how this process is. And I do know that the system is very much in a place to intimidate you. And
I've gone through all that, though. See, that's the problem. I've spent buku bucks getting my own appraiser, not once but twice, because they come up with the same idea all the time. Well, it's not properly done. And see, it's a vicious circle because they keep hitting with the same things.
Let me ask you a question.
I know you're doing this, but I'll tell you what, you need to get somebody like Pam Zekman. You really want to get media involved? Because I can tell you flat out right now, nobody from the Chronicle will show up. Nobody from Daily Herald will show up.
because I've called in and so has several people, you know, they have no interest in it. And, you know, for some reason, I don't know whether they're bought and paid for by these guys or what, but the bottom line is, and Ken goes through this all the time, just using this example for, you know, trying to get a third party going. They're bought and paid for by somebody. They can care less. The bottom line is they need money, and they're going to screw every individual one way or the other. And you know, I hate to say this. I fought this several times, and it's not working. It's just not working. It's frustrating. I'm not giving up. In fact, they've made me angrier.
Good.
So I'm going to come
good.
At it. You gave me a couple of good ideas, but we need to work together. We need to start working in general in the whole state of Illinois and get everybody from each individual county, because I understand it's happening everywhere.
Okay,
and
Jeff.
And make a precedence. I'll get off, but I you know, commend you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. I want to move on. We have Chris. Hi, Chris, real quick.
Hi, guys. Just I'm a real big fan of Bob's letters to the editor regarding abolishment of township government. I'm happy to see him every time. Just two real quick things. Ken, you just read an ad about the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition. The ad's a little bit dated, and I just want to advise your listeners that the website's been updated. FoxValleyFreedom.com has new contact information, new meeting location information. And the related thing, one thing we can do to fix all the problems that Bob's talking about is to vote yes for the Constitutional Convention. Fox Valley Freedom Coalition is sponsoring a debate on the ConCon this coming Saturday from 2 to 4 in Carpentersville, and the information about the debate is on the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition's website, so I hope Bob and everybody else can make it.
That should be very interesting with Bruno Barron and Chris, who's the one who's opposing ConCon.
Dan Croft will be supporting the no side.
Right. Again, that's in downtown Carpentersville. The Family Taxpayers Network, that's where Auto Engineering is, right by the river, right on Main Street.
Main Street just east of the river, plenty of parking,
right.
2 to 4.
2 to 4 this Saturday. Should be a very interesting event, and we're trying to get some, do we got any media coming yet, Chris? It's kind of ridiculous. I can't believe the lack of response we've had from them on this.
We're still working on it, and I'm a little surprised, too, because even in the Northwest Herald, they've written a couple op-eds, you know, in support of the ConCon.
Are you in support of the ConCon, Bob?
Very much so. In fact, I'm glad Chris brought that up because that certainly could be there. What's so interesting is, and my next letter to the editor is going to be in support of the Constitutional Convention, but when he said he had an issue to reading my letters to the editor about the township government, I sent a letter to Brian Smith recently, who is the Executive Director of Township Officials of Illinois. They go by TOI. Got over 13,000 members. And I asked him what the position was of township government, of TOI, and suggested that maybe it would be good if he would look into notifying the 1,433 township governments we have in Illinois and have them pass resolutions that support the Constitutional Convention. And I did get a reply back, and their position is negative. They do not support that.
Are they afraid that maybe there would allow a popular referenda that might abolish?
They're afraid of not. They're just afraid of the discussion of their worth, period. And they even have bumper stickers out that that they had at least one township locally here in McHenry County, which was Door Township in Woodstock. And the bumper sticker read, I haven't seen it, but a person pointed out to me, and he did get a story in the Northwest Herald about this, the bumper sticker would say, ConCon, no.
Huh.
So they do have at least some areas, out, and I suppose it will be around the whole state now.
This is going to be a big vote coming up this November, and I've heard virtually no coverage of this in the press.
Well, there has been a very good story in the Woodstock Independent about it.
Okay.
But Northwest Herald, I got those confused, the Northwest Herald. And they do support it. We have a representative, Jack Franks, McHenry County, he supports it. With another question I'll have for Senator Althoff tomorrow is what her position is on that. I do not know. But as I continue to ask questions of different items about political items or subjects in the barbershop, very few people know anything about this convention coming up at all. And it's a huge thing for us. And there's many things that can
also
put on there.
If I can tout Bruno's website, yesforillinois.com, has a lot of information about why people ought to get behind this and vote yes.
That's excellent, Chris.
And we have to remember that right now, the present Constitution, Illinois Constitution, backed up by the Illinois State Supreme Court, allows virtually no change to the Constitution by popular referendum. And I think we should have that power in Illinois to stop the power of the establishment. Bob Anderson, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate it. Do you have a website or anything you want to promote?
No, the only website was... I think it was John that called me last week. I gave him a website for our Citizens for Fair Assessment. So there's a web, he's got a website address there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Quotation.
So much for putting me on.
Alrighty.
Thank you. Have
Quotation of the week. This is my own. Politics is not a horse race. It's a protracted conflict in the battle of ideas, and trends do matter. You do not have to win to affect change.